Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
We have been watching the commission. I've tried by all means this whole week to try and give you little snippets of the commission. And of course, we've also been watching the ad hoc committee at the same time. So I know sometimes it's hard to keep up, right? Especially if your attention was with the ad hoc committee at some point, and then you want to go back to the commission and you want to, you know, sort of understand what and who is what in the mix. What I'm going to do is that I've asked our colleague Nilo Huma to try and maybe just give us a quick snapshot of what happened between yesterday and today, because I think what happened yesterday and today, well, it kind of blends into one another, but really, really crucial. And if you've missed it, it's really important for you to get a sense of what exactly the testimonies were about today. Kinele, thank you so much for talking to us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Otumela. Thanks for having me.
So I want to start with the fact that what happened yesterday and today was very much connected to witness, what was called witness A and B at the very beginning of the commission. Yes. Contextualize that for us.
So about over a week ago, we heard from witness A, witness B, as well as C. And witness A and B were basically talking about the operation takedown, and that was Operation Takedown Gatisa Molefe. And you'd know that Gatisa Molefe has been linked to the killing of Ahmad Swart, a Vereniging engineer who was shot and killed in a case of mistaken identity after his company that he works for, that is Q-Tech Engineering, actually blew the lid about, you know, corruption at Transnet. And this relates to Gatiso Molefe's nephew, that is Lucky Molefe, who's still on the run. So witness A and witness B spoke about the operation takedown to arrest both Gatiso Molefe as well as Lucky Molefe. On that day, they were meant to arrest Lucky Molefe. However, Lucky is still on the run to this day. And Molefe was, that is Gatiso, who's the uncle to Lucky, was arrested on that day. So the conversation was around what happened at Gatiso Molefe's house, where there were various issues that happened. And you'd know that before the commission, there's been allegations of political interference when it comes to Gatiso Molefe. Witness A and B spoke about how when they went to go and conduct a search and seizure operations, and this is just moments before they arrested Gatiso Molefe, the members of the Hawks had arrived in various marked vehicles with more than probably over 10 officials from the Hawks attending to the scene while they were conducting the operation.
Yeah.
Now, the commission actually yesterday called members from the SAPS as well as the Hawks to try and confirm and understand what actually happened on the day. So we heard from three officers, two from the Hawks, and one from the SAPS to confirm what actually happened. We do understand that from the Hawks side, they were sent there to try and establish whether the political killings task team was conducting an illegal operation. And that's what the commission heard yesterday.
And so what I think is really, really important about who witness A and B and C are in the entire operation is that these are people who were conducting the raids as SAPS, whereas there was another team, a Hawks team. And yesterday, the differences between what actually happened was very, very interesting.
The differences about what actually happened is that the Hawks were not authorized to be part of the operation. The Hawks were sent there after information that there were bogus SAPS officials who were at Gatiso Molefe's house. Now, the Hawks were instructed by Brigadier Lisiba Mugwena, who says, I got information from my superior, and that is General Mboto, to say there is something happening at Gatiso Molefe's house. Go and check if that process is actually a legitimate process. Now, there was a tense standoff. You'd understand that SAPS officials believe that this is a sensitive case. We're trying to ensure that we do this operation in a manner that's not going to affect anybody. We don't want these people to flee. But now the Hawks arrive. When they get there, they're also trying to understand whether these people have been given permission to do what they're doing. And now this all goes back to the interference, you know, the perceived interference that the Hawks actually were trying to halt this operation to try and protect Molefe.
One of the other interesting things today was voice recordings of what sounded like admissions by Molefe, who was talking obviously to witness C upon his arrest. So blurted a lot of things and implicated quite a number of people.
It was actually Matlala. And that is Vusi.
Absolutely. My bad.
Yes.
So today, yes. It was Matlala who was speaking to witness C once he was arrested and speaking about his frustrations, especially with some of the elites that we've been looking at.
Yes. So initially, when witness C went and conducted a raid at Matlala's home, Matlala still spoke about the fact that he is connected to, you know, high-ranking officials within the SAPS, spoke about his connections to, you know, Senzo Mpunu, who's now the Minister of Police, who's been placed on special leave, also spoke about his close connections to Deputy National Commissioner, and that is Shadrack Spear, who's now been suspended. And that's the same thing that happened when they arrested him now in May. When they got a hold of him, he then explained that I am in conversations with these people. They've promised me that they will protect me from any investigations by the police. I'm now at a point where I feel that these people are not protecting me. He told this police officer, and that is witness C, that I have paid these people. I've given Shadrack Spear over 2 million rands. I've bought him a... And this is all, you know, these are all claims. That's what he says. He says, I've given Minister Senzo Mkunu, I've paid for his entertainment, I've paid for his delegates to travel to Cape Town for the January 8th statement that was held by the ANC, that's held by the ANC annually. And I've paid for that because he had expressed to me that he needed a sponsor in order to pursue his presidential ambitions within the ANC. However, I am now at a point where I feel that these people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. We had an agreement and they're not sticking to the end of that bargain.
One of the things that I thought was interesting was how he kept saying, you know, that Sibiya was a criminal, himself being a criminal, just over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. He was basically saying this man is a criminal. He linked him to other people, a Congolese man, where he said, you know, numerous times when I'd go drop off cash for Sibiya, I'd have to leave cash at this area in Sandton, a gated complex where there is another Congolese national who's linked to Spear, and I have had to leave money in a dustbin in Spear's office. He said it so many times. He's saying that, you know, this relationship started off when, you know, a taxi boss in Pretoria, and that is Joseph Mcibi, who's known as Mswazi, died. Spear then approached Matlala and said, if you take care of me, I'll take care of you. But he was so frustrated in those voice notes. I mean, Osimelo, at some point he says, Ntate urata chelete, Sibiya urata chelete, and saying, this man just loves money. He's such a criminal. He'll do anything for money. And these are allegations that were put before the commission. And we will have to test out those voice notes and everything that he said. The commission is there to probe these allegations that have been presented.
It was quite something to hear witness C really also give us a sense of what life is like, you know, for him as somebody who's been investigating these cases, pretty similar to also what we heard from witness A and B, just speaking about how difficult things have been since they've been working on these cases.
Yeah. I mean, it's a choice that they say they've had to make, you know. Witness C saying today that he chose to take oath, and this means that he'll have to do everything in his power to fight corruption, to fight crime. But he does say that life is not the same. He can't spend time with his children. He can't go on holiday. He's always in a group. It almost feels like he's in prison. He has to ask for permission to do certain things, particularly in relation to having to have conversations. He's whereabouts with his family. He's not so open. He can't openly say to his friends, this is where I'm at, let's meet up, you know, let's have a conversation. They have to be at the safe house, and it's just them. You know, he's had to adapt to this new life, but he also does say that this is part of the job. This is, he took oath, he wants to be an honorable police officer, and if this comes with the job, and yeah, that's what it is, he'll take it any day.
The commission is not sitting tomorrow. When are they back?
They're back on Monday. They haven't yet disclosed which person is going to be or which witness they'll get testimony from. With these commissions, they usually explain like a day before, obviously for, you know, safety reasons and various purposes, just to protect the identity of the witness. Sometimes this person may be, you know, in camera reporting, or rather testifying from remotely a different area. So we'll probably do get confirmation of who the witness is on Sunday evening.
Kaya reporter Kinelo Huma there. Thank you so much for breaking all of that for us today.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.